Welcome everyone to church service tonight, prayer service. May the Lord bless it. Welcome if you're online with us. Thank you for joining. May this time together be a blessing to you. Tonight we'll start our service on number 216. 216, not one. Thank the Lord that Jesus is not afraid to call us his own brother and friend. What a privilege to be called his friend.
There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus, no, not one, no, not one. No else could heal all our souls' diseases, no, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus, no, not one, no, not one. No friend like him is so high and holy, no, not one, no, not one. And yet no friend is so meek and lowly, no, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about
verse.
Was there a gift like the Savior given? No, not one, no, not one. Will he refuse us a home in heaven? No, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day.
Father, we thank you so much for this time together tonight. We thank you for this hymn that we have just sung, that we have a friend in Jesus. No one is like him. We thank you, Father, that through faith in him and through his shed blood upon the cross, we are able to be called your sons, and we are able to be able to call him a friend. We thank you, Father, that He does indeed know all about our struggles. He will guide us throughout every day as we depend upon Him, as we turn to Him, and as we seek His guidance. Thank you for the time that we are able to spend tonight in prayer. We thank you so much for that privilege of prayer. We confess to you, Father, how often we are coming short of truly being the kind of praying Christians that we should be. We often just take for granted your love and grace, and we don't really spend time in prayer. And I would ask, Father, that even tonight, as we would have opportunity to discuss the importance of prayer and how we need to be devoted to prayer, that you would challenge us, that you would prick our hearts where they need to be pricked, and that we would be men and women of prayer, that we'd be a church of prayer. And we are grateful this evening for your goodness to us. Thank you for each one who's here. And we ask, Father, that you would guide us through this hour together. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Let me take you to Acts chapter 2 for just a few moments this evening before we go to prayer. We've been trying to look at ourselves as a church in light of Acts chapter 2 and the early church in Jerusalem. And specifically, we've been just kind of camped out in verse 42 for the last month or so. They continued, that is, the new believers in the church there in Jerusalem, in verse 42 of Acts 2, they continued steadfastly, or they were devoted to the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. We talked about the being devoted to the apostles' doctrine, being devoted to the truth of God's word, and then being devoted to fellowship. We spent some time discussing that and trying to evaluate our own church as it relates to being devoted to fellowship. Last week, we spent some time on being devoted to the breaking of bread. And we said that really is a reference to our communion service, the Lord's Supper. And we said it just as an indication that the church there in Jerusalem was a Christ-centered church. They stayed focused on Christ, and the Lord's Supper helps us to stay focused on Christ. And so we discussed that some, and we kind of went into the area of recently we've made a little bit of a change, and instead of having our communion service a half hour before our evening service on Sunday night, two or three times, we've just taken the entire evening service and made it our communion service. And so we discussed that, whether we as a church appreciated doing it that way more than just the half hour before the evening service. And it really kind of came out that seems to be the preference, at least of most of us, to just have the whole evening service, the first Sunday of each month, for our communion service. But it also came up, why not Sunday morning? And we discussed that some. And I just want to address that. I think maybe there was a little bit of confusion, perhaps last week, on a couple of things. First of all, the term close communion came up. And I just want to make sure everybody knows what close communion is. There is what is known as opened communion. There is closed communion. And there is close communion. Open communion is that you have communion and anybody and everybody that's there can take it. Saved, unsaved, baptized, not baptized, just anybody there in the service can take the communion service. We, of course, as a church, do not hold to open communion. And I think there was some confusion last week. Nobody was advocating for open communion. The thought was maybe we could have it on Sunday morning, but no one was advocating open communion. Even if we did have communion on Sunday morning, it was still the thought that we could still proceed and make it clear that this was for baptized believers. And so no one was advocating for open communion. Closed communion is the idea that the communion service is only for church members. In other words, if we were going to have a closed communion, only those who are members of this church could take communion. We don't hold to that here as our church either. We hold to what is close communion. Close communion is saved and baptized. They are the ones who are able to take communion. Saved and baptized. And more specifically, I should say saved and baptized by immersion. Whether you're a member of the church or not is not the point. If you've been saved and baptized by immersion, you can partake in the communion service. That's what we as a church have held ever since our beginning. In fact, let me just read our church constitution. The Lord's Supper shall be a special service held for the members of the church and other regenerate, immersed believers. So it's for members and regenerate, immersed believers. In other words, saved and baptized by immersion. So the Lord's Supper shall be a special service held for the members of the church and other regenerate, immersed believers desiring to participate in the ordinance. The service shall be held the first Lord's Day of each month, preferably in the evening, or as otherwise announced by the pastor. So as far as when it's held, that is pretty flexible. It says it would be held the first Lord's Day of each month, preferably in the evening, or as otherwise announced by the pastor. And sometimes, for various reasons, we've had to postpone it to the second Sunday instead of the first Sunday, and we make that announcement. preferably in the evening, but it doesn't dictate that it has to be in the evening. It could be in the morning. But our thoughts last week is we have more visitors here in the morning. There'd be some people who would be unsaved. There'd be some believers who have not been immersed, and it would put them in perhaps a very uncomfortable position. It would perhaps make them feel isolated. It would make them feel like we have judged them, and so it just would possibly create some very hard feelings. And so that was the concern. And in fact, that's why we started doing it the half hour before the evening service, so that you would have to specifically come for the communion service, and you would not have people there that would all of a sudden begin to feel very uncomfortable because they're being isolated out. And that's back when the evening service had many more visitors. We don't have that many visitors coming on Sunday evening, so if we go to an evening service that is a communion service, we're not going to usually have very many visitors here at that time to put them in that uncomfortable position. Some were suggesting last week, well, even having it Sunday morning, and even if we did announce that it's for saved, baptized by immersion believers, that those unbelievers that might be there, or maybe believers that are not baptized or whatever, that could be a testimony to them as they would see us partaking of the elements, that perhaps that would open up some dialogue with them. And the suggestion was made that in Acts chapter 2, it seems as though they were doing it right in the midst of a lot of unbelievers. But as you read carefully in Acts chapter 2, I'm not sure that's what that says. It says they were devoted to the breaking of bread, so they were devoted to the communion service. It does say that they were at the temple daily. And so the suggestion was made last week that, well, if they were at the temple daily, they were probably observing the Lord's Supper daily at the temple with a lot of unbelievers around. That's not what it says. In fact, it almost says exactly the opposite in verse 46. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their food with gladness and singleness of heart. It doesn't say they were breaking bread at the temple. They were breaking bread from house to house. So they were going to the believers' homes, and they were having the Lord's Supper in the believers' homes, not at the temple. And so I think we are right in saying that having our communion service at a time when it is primarily just believers there that can participate in the communion service, and not putting the unbeliever in a very uncomfortable position of feeling judged and isolated, that's not the way to win people. We need to win people by certainly sharing the gospel with them, but not putting them in a very uncomfortable position and isolating them out in a service like that. So I just kind of wanted to address that this evening so that we are all kind of understanding where we were coming from. And again, especially that thought of a open, closed, close communion, and what do we as a church hold to. Have any questions about that before we go to prayer? And then we will come back for some time of discussion as it relates to the next thought here in verse 42. They were devoted to prayer. We want to discuss that tonight. But, yeah, Mike.
We had a couple of visitors to communion, maybe new, this past Sunday. And it just, as you're talking, Don, about this, it struck me that I don't know if they're saved or not. I have a clue maybe what the case is. But regardless, it's an opportunity for me to find out, to pursue, you know, find out if they're Christians or not. And I'm thankful that they were here and felt enough in a way to take it, even though I don't know what their status is, but at the same time, they were here, and it's an opportunity to share the gospel with them, just find out what's going on in life. You know, a great way to introduce Christ is to talk about what communion is for.
Mm-hmm. Opens up the door.
on that day, there were added about 3,000 souls. They were continually devoting themselves. Mm-hmm. Saved people. It's not unsaved.
Yeah. And again, nobody last week was advocating for an open communion. They were simply saying we could do it on Sunday morning as a perhaps a testimony to any visitors and unsaved people that would be there. But it could also work the other way. It could cause some real hard feelings towards us if we put them in that very uncomfortable, try to put yourself in that position. And how would you feel in a situation like that where you would be kind of outcast, isolated, you can't partake in this. That would be very uncomfortable for any of us. And so we need to be careful with that. Lee? We need to be, like I said, I think we need to be very careful on how we make our visitors feel when they come into our church. We want them to feel welcome. We want them to feel our concern and love for them, and to isolate them out is not accomplishing that. All right, very good. We are going to go to a time of prayer, and then we'll come back to a time of discussion. Do we have some picked out here? All right.
Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight rejoicing in that salvation that we have in your Son. And as we've been discussing communion, and we just had our communion service, we want to thank you for that time that you set aside for us to remember. We think of in the Old Testament how many times you set aside things so that they can remember, whether it's piles of rocks or the Passover or whatever, just to bring to mind who you are and what you've done. And as we think of communion, we recognize how important it is. How important it is for us to focus on your Son, to focus on who we once were, and to focus on who we are now. And as we discuss that tonight and we recognize how important it is, I just ask that you would give our church and members here and attenders the desire to be part of that, the desire to come together and as a church body celebrate what Christ has done for us. I thank you for this church. I thank you for the people that you've brought together. I ask that you will continually watch over who we are and who we are seen as, how we do things. And I ask that you will always direct us through your word and through your spirit into where you want us to be and who you want us to be. We think of the Sunday school class starting up this past week, and we thank you for that. And we just ask that as that continues to move along, that it will be successful in challenging people and challenging kids and adults to grow in their knowledge of you and their love for you. Think of the kids clubs and the teens group starting here in a few weeks. And even now we pray that you will move in the hearts of those teens and in the hearts of the kids clubs attenders, that even now you'll prepare them to hear who you are and what your son has done for them. We think of our pastors. Thank you for Don and Lloyd and Mike. Thank you for the ministry that they have here among us. Thank you that you care for them and they care for us. We have past men that are concerned about your word. We have men that look at the truth of your word and hold it in high import. And that's not always the case in churches around our country today. We ask you that you will protect them, be with their families and protect them, build a hedge around them, keep them safe from Satan's attacks. And we just ask that you will continually guide and direct them in all their decisions. We thank you for the COVID situation here at our church and how you have seen fit to protect us from that. We ask that you will continue to do that. We ask that you will continue to watch over our congregation, keep us healthy. And we think of our county, our state, our nation. Lots of unknowns still. 6 months into this, and it's still almost as confusing as it was when it started. But we take great comfort in the fact that you are a God that knows the hairs on our head. You are the Alpha and Omega. You are the beginning and the end, and there's nothing that has ever escaped you. There is nothing that you have never or have missed or not noticed. You are in complete control, and what a comfort that is for us to know that you care, to know that you love us, and to know that you are going to do everything in our lives for our good. Now, once again, I just want to thank you for this time together tonight. I thank you for the opportunity to come together in the middle of the week and pray. May we always hold that as a high esteem in our lives. It's not always easy, but we ask that you will give us that spirit of prayer, a spirit that we can pray for each other and pray for our church and pray for our community. And we know that you will answer. We have faith that you will hear our words and answer them according to your will. In your son's name.
Heavenly Father, as we continue in prayer tonight, Lord, we just, again, we want to thank you for this opportunity that we can gather here in the midweek service to bring before you our prayers, our praises, our concerns of the things that are going on in our church family and in our personal lives, Lord. Lord, we do thank you for your hand of protection upon us as a church. As Greg just said, we continue to work through this COVID situation and pandemic that's going on. Lord, the health protection that you have provided to our church and our members and even into our community and surrounding areas, Lord, that we really haven't been hit that hard. And, Lord, we're thankful for that. And, Lord, as we think of that as well, we just want to take this time to reflect that each one of us shows the grace and compassion to the people around us, Father, as we go through this. We know there's people from one end of the scope to the other and everything in between as far as the fear, the concern, some that just brushing it off and not showing any concern about it. But Lord, everybody's has their own position on that. And Lord, just help each one of us to show grace to those if it is a difference of opinion of ours individually or something. And Lord, through that, may be an example of you in their lives. Lord, each one of us here has a family member, a coworker, a friend, a neighbor that we're in contact with every day, and that we can be that light and that testimony to them. And and through that, that they would see the calmness that we can possess, Lord, through our faith in you and our trust in you, that you're in control of all these things, that we can have a peace and an understanding of knowing that you're in control, that you'll protect us if that's where you want us to be at. And Lord, through that we can share that with them. And as we've been discussing the services here in the communion service, Lord, as Mike just said as well, as there's unsaved or new Christians or visitors coming in, an opportunity to speak with them, an opportunity to inject ourselves into their lives and to strike up that conversation, see where they're at spiritually, what their concerns are, what's going on in their lives, Lord, that we can be involved in a personal one-on-one relationship with them. Father, again, we do thank you for this church. We thank you for our pastors and the commitment that they've had to this church, as well as, and more importantly, the commitment that they've had to your word and upholding the truth of your word. Father, we thank you for them. We thank you for their families, Lord, their wives that stand beside them and behind them on the day-to-day issues and things going on. And Lord, we know that without that support, it would be a much bigger battle. So, Father, we thank you for them as well. Thank you for the way that you've blessed this church and our members and our community that we're in and involved in, Lord. We thank you that we're a part of that and that we can be a part of this community that we're outreaching into and touching the hearts and the lives of those that we come in contact with each and every day. Father, again, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for this opportunity to discuss these things of the church and to have a dialogue with one another pertaining to these issues. And Lord, we just thank you again for this opportunity to gather and to pray and to serve you here tonight. Father, it's in your name we ask these things. Amen.
At this time, we'll be going offline, and thankful for those who have joined us online tonight.